SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. Another hour together as we've got plenty of games getting ready to tip off here in college hoops. We got five games in the NBA, a couple of early games also getting ready to tip off. And from now until next Sunday, plenty of talk about the big game in New Orleans between the Chiefs and the Eagles. But let us not forget, there is plenty of tickets to be cashed at AT&T Pebble Beach. And nobody knows that better than our good friend Brady Cannon in the house. Brady, we talked to you last night about this tournament. We were excited because we had, you know, some of the classics back. We were going to get to see Rory, right, for the first time. Scottie Scheffler was going to make his season debut. Jordan Spieth. So all in all, it turns out, and usually I'm used to seeing Russell Henley on Sunday putt his way into the top 10, top 20, but he putted his way right to the top of the leaderboard here today at 8 under. What did you see here today at Pebble Beach?
Well, you know what? It was a great opening round. The weather was calm. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of wind out there. It was a little bit chilly, but guys were able to score. And they were able to hit some greens and, you know, a calm, nice opening round of golf. It is supposed to get a little bit more difficult on Friday. You know, they're talking about a lot of wind on the broadcast. This is eerily similar to what we saw last week at Torrey Pines. You had, you know, the Wednesday start, guys went out, Oberg shot 9 under, and then the wind went crazy on Thursday, and, you know, the golf tournament turned on its head. They're talking about, you know, 15, 25 mile an hour gusts, and I've checked three different cities. I've checked Pacific Grove, Pebble Beach, and Carmel. None of them say wind over 10 miles an hour. I don't know what's going on here. I would do some more research on that before you dive in if you're going to make some live wagers here. But I'm not seeing any more wind coming tomorrow or really throughout the weekend. I did see a slight chance of rain. But I think the scoring's going to continue as far as I can tell here, Joe. And, you know, Russell Henley, really exceptional, the start he got off to. An 8-under par round on the harder golf course. This is also like what we had last week at Torrey Pines. We had the south course, the harder track, and then everybody plays one round on the north course, the easier course. Well, Spyglass Hill is playing about a shot and a half more difficult than Pebble Beach. Mm. Everybody will play one round at Spyglass. They'll play three rounds at Pebble. Well, Russell Henley, he got to the lead at 8-under par on the harder golf course. So that's why he's trading at a pretty low price. He's at 9-under. Who knows what he's going to do on Friday? Victor Hovland was my long shot. You remember, this guy has not been in good form. I mean, his press conference, he was saying, I really suck right now. He wasn't too bad today. He got it to 7-under, but he was on Pebble, so he'll play the harder course tomorrow. He's at 20-1 to win this thing, a lot different than where he was pre-tournament, around 60-1. But just keep that in mind. Scotty and Rory, by the way, Rory, a hole-in-one, the Irish duo of Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry, both made an ace today. And they bought pizza and beer for the media tent. Our buddy Keith Stewart tweeted out a picture of a bucket full of beer and pizzas, courtesy of Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry, for their hole-in-ones today. But Rory and Scotty both played on the more difficult Spyglass Hill. Only about a shot and a half, but more difficult. So they'll go to Pebble on Friday, and they both went pretty well today. You know, Scotty was 5-under. Rory was 6-under. Scotty, 3 shots off the lead, Joe, and he's still the tournament favorite at 4-1.
Yeah, and listen, it was just good to see him out there. And let's face it, until Sunday comes, Brady, he is always going to have a shot at winning this thing, which is kind of crazy. But you're right, it's been an absolute fantastic start to the tournament. But it feels like this is one where you really need to have a pretty good understanding of where that win comes into play, because 8-under... We might not be getting eight unders and seven unders over the next couple of days, and I think that's going to be pretty important now.
No, you're exactly right. I would not jump into the live market at this point because there's just too many unknowns for me. And like I said, It's eerily similar to last week. It's the same thing. I didn't see any wind in the forecast for day two at Torrey Pines. And all of a sudden, you know, the balls were oscillating on the greens. I mean, it was blowing like crazy out there. And I'm not seeing anything like that in the forecast here again, But they're talking about it on the broadcast. So not knowing that, and then you have the differences in the two courses, you know, about a shot and a half, two strokes different between Spyglass Hill and Pebble. I want to see what happens tomorrow. I'd like to see them get 36 holes under their belt before I dive back in. But, you know, Sepp Straka is another guy that went low on Spyglass Hill today, you know, coming off of a win a couple weeks ago at the Amex. Rasmus Højgaard, he was a popular pick this week, you know, typically a European tour guy, but he got a lot of attention this week. He went low today, starting on the harder golf course, as did Justin Thomas, Maverick McNealy, one of my guys, and Gary Woodland. Hey, U.S. Open winner here at Pebble Beach in 2019, shot 4 under on the harder golf course today. So he's at 110-1 right now. I mean, if you're going to get involved and you want to just take a flyer, maybe Gary Woodland's the guy.
Are you going to bet against Justin Rose? Like,
I know.
There's a lot.
He won here a couple years ago.
I mean,
he's 70-1.
There are guys that are very familiar with this golf course that are playing, actually are in really good form. I mean, there's no reason for JT not to play well, have a chance to win this thing on Sunday. You know, but you got to be able to see it. And you're right. Who's been better than Sepp Straka over the start the season? So, boy, I got to tell you, there's a lot of big names, though. What wins it, though, do you think? What's the number?
The number at the Westgate Superbook, our friends over there, hung 19.5. And the way this thing was going today, I said, boy, it's going to fly over that, you know. But I don't know. If this wind shows up, then who knows? But I'm just not seeing it in the forecast. 19's probably a pretty good number. You know, if it's going to level off a little bit tomorrow, maybe 19's a really good number. I trust Jeff Sherman over there. But, you know, I tell you, it's great to see this, isn't it, Joe? I mean, we've got Rory, we got Scotty, you got JT, and everybody's live. I mean, there's only 80 guys in the field, and I would say 50 of them still got a shot. I mean, the guys at 3 under par are only 5 shots off the lead, and they're in like, what, 30? You know, I mean, there's probably 50 guys within 5 shots of the lead, and they're all basically stars on tour. So looks like we've got a good one on our hands.
We do. I mean, that figure. So heading into Saturday, we're figuring 12 or 13 would most likely be the leader, which would put guys anything less than what? 8? Probably not worth taking a flyer on.
Yeah. I mean, when you head into the final day, I never like to be more than 4 shots off the lead on the final day. And everybody's going to be on Pebble, which is a little bit easier, okay? And again, the forecast is calling for very benign conditions. And you know how it is. Yep. If we have a little bit of a birdie fest, it's extremely hard to catch the leaders because they're likely to not make mistakes. So, you know, if you got a guy that's 2 or 3 shots out in front on Sunday, they're probably going to go on to win it.
Yeah, there will be some opportunities to jump in, but let's get past tomorrow first and see what we've got. Brady Cannon, we'll talk to you again tomorrow on Game Time Decisions. We'll have all the latest from Pebble Beach. We'll have more when Game Time Decisions continues here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. We welcome back in our good friend Brady Cannon here as we are getting ready, of course, for a great weekend at Pebble Beach. The PGA Tour in full effect. I mean, the Masters will be here before we know it. But when you got the likes of Rory and Scotty Scheffler and company, there are some big names atop that Pebble Beach leaderboard. There are also plenty of opportunities coming up for the big game here, Brady, in New Orleans. And of course, Sports Grid will be on site, Radio Row, beginning on Monday all week long. We'll have boots on the ground, plenty happening. But in your neck of the woods, there's a pretty big event here tonight as well. And it's kind of a one of those situations, Brady, where we wait for it every year. And it's that old, the release of all of the props happen here in Las Vegas. It's original to Vegas. It's happens every year. Guys line up around the corner. You'll be there tonight here for once it is released. And then, boy, the windows are active tonight, are they not?
Yeah, it's a great time, and it goes back to a guy I know you're familiar with, a good friend of mine, Jay Cornegay, who just recently retired as the vice president of the Race and Sports Book at the Superbook. He really almost created the prop bet, Joe. I believe he truly is responsible for the cross-sport prop bet, you know, like which will be a higher number, goals scored by Sidney Crosby or touchdown passes by Patrick Mahomes, that type of thing. I think Jay actually created that, but back when he was at the Imperial Palace, he really made the prop bets popular for the Super Bowl. And now, of course, everybody does them. But the Westgate will release what I believe is just an absolute book of about probably 500 different prop bets. At, I believe, 7 p.m. Pacific tonight, media will be on hand. Everybody will be covering it. It's really one of the signature events that the Superbook throws year in and year out. And you're right. They will be lined up out the door and around the corner, all the sharp guys in town. Yeah. Ready to make their bets. Rufus Peabody, Steve Fezzik, all those guys have been famous for, you know, getting there early and often for these prop bets. And I believe what they allow you to do is a couple $1,000s, and they allow you to bet, I think, up to two or three props. And then you got to go to the back of the line, and guys will be there all night. Just, you know, make a couple bets, go to the back of the line and do this trick three or four different times through. And trying to get that best number. And, you know, if you're not going to go down there and get in line and do that type of exercise, you probably want to get right after it tomorrow morning or something like that. You want to bet, let's say you want to bet overs and yes early, and you want to bet unders and no late. So let these guys move that number, you know, like crazy for the next couple of days. And then maybe you go right before kickoff on Sunday or Saturday night or something like that, and go the other way after that number's been kicked the other way in one direction so drastically. So it's a good time. You know, a lot of celebrity-type sports bettors down there at the Westgate Superbook tonight. And, it kind of feels like it's the beginning of Super Bowl week here in Las Vegas when that party kicks off.
Yeah, it is always so much fun there. I can tell you right off the bat, Brad. I mean, one of the ones that I bet every year, it's been one of the more profitable props, is the shortest touchdown under 1.5 yards. And I don't care what it is. It's always juiced. And to your point, for those of you at home listening, if you're going to be playing props, if you're going to be looking at overs, bet them early. If you're going to be looking at unders, bet them late. Wait until the numbers get out of control. But this one has hit 24 of the last 35, I believe, and under 7 of the last 9. It feels like if there's any two teams that can handle shortest touchdown under a yard and a half, it's going to be these two teams that will tush push their way into the end zone from the 1 yard line here.
Yeah, the tush push. I mean, it doesn't apply to any more team than the Philadelphia Eagles, does it? No, I think that would be an absolute no-brainer. And you're probably going to see that price through the roof here pretty quick. I mean, who knows? Is it already minus 150? It might become a minus 250 here pretty soon because it feels like that's a foregone conclusion. But you know what? I would probably still have to get involved. The other one that always looks sideways, but it happens more than you realize, is will there be a score, you know, at least three times? Will one team score at least three times in a row, you know, without the other team interrupting? Will one team score, and that counts halftime too. So, you know, if a team scores to end the second quarter and then they come back and they score again first in the third and then score again, and usually the no on that is, I want to say, around plus 350. And you're like, oh my gosh, give me that. They're not going to score three times in a row. It happens more often than not. The yes is typically about minus 170. So that's another one that usually happens, just like the short touchdown, like you're saying, Joe. Another one that you're going to have to pay some juice on that rarely ever happens in the Super Bowl is no overtime. Will there be overtime? The no is going to be a heavy favorite. And that's the other thing about prop bets, you know, that the audience needs to understand. Sometimes you have to lay the wood. I mean, there's a reason it's a big price, because usually it comes true.
Yep. Yeah. And to that point here, I think, will there be a 2-point conversion? Successful and attempted. Those are good ones. And I got to tell you, with this one, because I do happen to think the defenses are going to be up to par here in this one. Kicking props, pretty good too. I have the longest field goal made under 47 and a half yards in this one here. It feels like both these teams, given the chance of trying a 50 yarder or going for it on fourth down, Brady, it feels like both of these teams will roll a dice and go for it more often than not.
Especially the Eagles, because, you know, Jason Elliott, their kicker, has had some struggles in the postseason. Now, you might get some field goals out of the Kansas City Chiefs, that they haven't looked like it as of late, but through the regular season, they were not great in the red zone. They settled for a lot of field goals, did Harrison Butker. So we'll see about that, but maybe that leads you to the first score of the game will be a field goal.
Yeah, I agree. Still like that first half under as well. That's where I'm looking. Brady, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Enjoy the prop night, my man. Game Time Decisions continues on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions on the Sports Grid Network. A very happy Thursday to you, as we're excited. Plenty of action on the hardwood here tonight, not to mention the NHL. And now would be a pretty good time to talk to our good friends Tom Vecchio and Joe Madden, who no doubt have a Sports Millions Pick'em on tap here tonight. What do you got for us?
Happy Thursday, everyone. It's time to jump into some Sports Millions Pick'ems. Now, Tom, we've got an absolutely loaded day out there on the ice today. Let's look at something that you're liking out there.
Yeah, huge slate of games today. A lot of teams are hot right now. Let's turn to one of those teams that's streaking right now, the New York Islanders. Their top line center, Bo Horvat, higher than 2.5 shots on goal. I like this matchup going up against Philadelphia. He has 32 shots on goal over his last 10 games. He's been over this 2.5 mark in 9 of the 11 games this month. They are peaking. He is peaking. He's on that power play. I love the fact that the Flyers are on a back-to-back. It's all good for Horvat and the Islanders tonight. I think he keeps it rolling with higher than 2.5.
Great way to go with that one. And I'm going to turn to the matchup here between the Chicago Blackhawks and the Carolina Hurricanes. We know the Canes were involved in that huge trade. And I'm going to look here at Sebastian Aho. He'll now have Mikko Rantanen, who was with Colorado, on that top line with him. And I think that just equals straight fire. We look at Sebastian Aho already on the season, and he's been such a playmaker out there. I'm going to lock him in on higher than 0.5 here for the Carolina Hurricanes. We look at him in the last three meetings versus the Chicago Blackhawks. He's been able to put up a point at least in all three of those, multiple points in two. So I do think Sebastian Aho with Mikko Rantanen on that top line, definitely someone you want to look at tonight, higher than 0.5, Tom.
Points from Carolina, as they'll have that first home game with Rantanen in the line, or third game overall that he's in line, but the first home game, I think they cruise tonight.
They absolutely should, you guys. Make sure you join us back here tomorrow for some more Sports Millions Pick'ems. We'll be focusing on the NBA.
All right, Joe and Tom, thank you very much. And you might as well get ready for a big night in the NBA. No better time for a Sports Million Blitz'em tonight.
Enjoy Sports Millions Pick'ems, but hate making the picks yourself? Well, Sports Millions has you covered. Head on over and play Sports Millions Blitz'em right now and let the computer do the work. Go to sportsmillions.com/blitz'em. To be able to win big prizes without having to make a single pick yourself, that's sportsmillions.com/blitz'em.
Good stuff there. Looking forward to the card here tonight as the NBA already underway with the Hawks and the Cavs right now, with the Cavs up 33-23 and the Lakers. Yep. Well, looks like they might have finally found a team they can beat at 26-18 on top of the Washington Wizards. Both those games in the first quarter here, getting ready, of course, at the 9 o'clock hour for the game of the night between the Rockets and the Grizzlies. And we did learn no Ja Morant here tonight for the Memphis Grizzlies, which means you can get him at a much better price. I'm starting to see threes popping up in the marketplace. This was as high as 5.5, but keep in mind, not a great spot for the Houston Rockets here tonight. This is their fourth game in six nights on the road, and they've had some battles here over the last week on this road trip. Memphis at home at the FedEx Forum there. Desmond Bain and company, they got more than enough firepower to be able to give the Rockets a run for their money. Wouldn't it all shock me if you can hop on the Rockets at a much cheaper price, because no Ja Morant, I think they're still in pretty good shape in order to win that game here tonight. Same can be said for Minnesota and Utah. Minnesota, second of a back-to-back. Heck of a battle against Phoenix last night. Now they're in the altitude in Utah. Been all Utah money all day long here. Opened up as 7.5-point Minnesota favorite, down to 6. Still think there's a good opportunity here to back the Utah Jazz at home, rested in the altitude, taking on the Minnesota Timberwolves. All right, we got plenty going on in the college basketball ranks as well, including an update, Penn State, Ohio State. We'll let you know what's going on as Game Time Decisions continues here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. A very happy Thursday to you. Appreciate you stopping by, as we got a lot going on here. And as we get ready to wrap up the football season, we said goodbye to college football a couple of weeks ago as the Ohio State Buckeyes are your national champions. We had the first year of a 12-team playoff. That was a whole lot of fun. We got one game left in the NFL to crown a champion there. That'll be next Sunday, but we'll have all sorts of live broadcasting coming from Radio Row beginning on Monday here on the Sports Grid Network. We will have the boots on the ground for you, getting you updated on everything you need to know live from New Orleans between the Eagles and the Chiefs. Looking forward to that, but let's not forget, we still got plenty of college basketball to go, plenty of NHL to go. How about the NBA in full swing as they continue to work towards getting to, I don't want to say their halfway point, but the All-Star break there. So that'll be fun. And the PGA Tour off and running here. In fact, Pebble Beach is the location of the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am happening right now all weekend long. The biggest names on the PGA Tour are involved there. So a lot going on this weekend in place of football. It'll be our first weekend in what feels like a very long time without there being any football being played. But that just means we got to get ready. There'll be plenty of Major League Baseball to talk about soon enough, as pitchers and catchers, in fact, will be reporting in not too far from where my studio is here in South Florida. Shortly enough, we did get an announcement earlier today. Kind of hard to believe. Some of these guys just can't figure out when to hang them up here and say when. But Max Scherzer has found another team to give him, well, $15.5 million. That's right. The Toronto Blue Jays, who have basically struck out trying to sign, well, anybody at this particular point over the last couple of seasons, they did land, well, on Max Scherzer. So kudos to them for overpaying another 40-year-old pitcher who will probably start six games and then end up on the injured list. Why do I say that? Because, well, he pitched nine last year at 39 years old and couldn't get rid of the shoulder and hamstring injuries. And boy, those nine starts weren't, he had a couple of good ones, but he ended up with nearly a 4 ERA in just 43 and a third innings. He struck out 40. He walked 10. Listen, this is his best days are clearly behind him. Toronto has certainly taken their shots on trying to sign some of the big name guys in the offseason, but unfortunately, it has not worked out. But he does join a rotation that will include the likes of Kevin Gausman, Jose Berrios, Chris Bassett, in fact, are some of the names. And if that doesn't move the needle for you, don't forget they also signed Anthony Santander from the Baltimore Orioles, Andres Jimenez, and also Jeff Hoffman, Yimi Garcia, and Nick Sandlin. So they are improved, the Blue Jays. But the good news is Blue Jays haven't traded either Vlad Guerrero Jr. or Bo Bichette, both of whom are going to be free agents after this season. And boy, oh boy, the rumors are flying that one, maybe if not both, will be playing in a different uniform within the next year or so. The Blue Jays went 74-88 last year. They finished last in the American League East, and that was for the first time since 2013. Don't know that things are going to get better with signing a 40-year-old Max Scherzer, but hey, the Cubs had no problem giving a 49-year-old Verlander. I don't even know how old. What is he, 42, 43? I don't know why are these guys still pitching. None of them are named Roger Clemens. So who are we kidding, guys? But hey, listen, if you find a team that's going to pay you, you keep rolling. But get ready, because there'll be plenty more to talk about when it comes to Major League Baseball here in a few weeks. Win totals are out. We'll have much to say about all of that as we get a little bit closer to the middle of February. In the meantime, we do have ourselves, well, a couple of NBA games underway right now, including the Hawks and the Cavs. The Hawks trying to keep it respectable here. They do find themselves down 11 in the second to the Cleveland Cavaliers, 43-32. And the Lakers, yeah, Lakers pouring it on in the first quarter. They got 39 points. They still got about a minute to go here. Could the Lakers drop a 40-burger on the Wizards? LeBron's already up to 11 points, it looks like. In the first quarter, well, he's going to need more of that, because let's face it, no Anthony Davis and no a whole lot of other things for the Lakers. This trade deadline going to be very interesting in the NBA. And the big name that keeps getting thrown around, of course, is Jimmy Butler. Now, from what we understand, the Golden State Warriors have some interest in making a deal with Pat Riley and the Miami Heat for Jimmy Butler. The problem is, and here's a shocker, the Warriors are questioning whether or not Jimmy Butler is a good fit. Can you believe that? Yes. And listen, if you're the Warriors, I'd be very worried about him being a good fit, because Jimmy Butler, not exactly the team kind of player, is he? And by the way, if you go to Golden State, it's not your team, Jimmy. It will never be your team, never be your town. In fact, it will be all about Steph Curry. And that's a rough situation, I think, expecting a guy that has basically quit on his teammates in Miami and forcing his way out, acting like a petulant child. I'm not sure that Steph Curry is going to sign up for that. But we are hearing that maybe the Knicks could be open to moving Mitchell Robinson, if it makes sense there. Also, Zach LaVine, Nikola Vucevic, all names being tossed around in a possible two or three team trade deal here. We all know that Jimmy Butler wanted to go to Phoenix, but they'd have to get rid of Bradley Beal. And who in the world wants to take on a Bradley Beal contract that's just as bad as Jimmy Butler's $48.7 million deal that would cost any team who takes him a whole lot of future assets there? So I don't know what happens. And wouldn't it be shocking if nothing happens and, in fact, Jimmy Butler is stuck in Miami until next season? Wouldn't that be fun? For the life of me, I have no idea what Pat Riley is thinking here. Also, interesting of note, too, in college hoops, keep an eye on what's happening here in college basketball tonight, because we have some great games coming up. We do have one game that's currently underway in the Big Ten, and that is Penn State right now at home taking on Ohio State. And by the way, this is at Rec Hall and not the main pavilion that they usually play at Penn State. It's at Rec Hall. Ohio State up 10 at the break, 43-33. But you saw the game coming up in just about, I think, 45 minutes or so. That's going to be Illinois on the road taking on Nebraska. And boy, Nebraska, boy, they could use a win. The problem is Illinois has owned Nebraska, including already earlier this season here. Nebraska getting four and a half. But Illinois has had some problems as of late, have come back down to earth. Is Nebraska exactly what Illinois ordered? Or can Nebraska finally do something they haven't been able to do in a very long time, and that is beat Illinois? Much more on that game, plus the rest of the schedule as Game Time Decisions continues on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. Appreciate you stopping by as we are getting ready, of course, for three more games in the association tonight, getting ready to tip off at the 9 o'clock hour, where we'll have Houston and Minnesota. Ja Morant ruled out already for that game, so that has changed the landscape just a little bit, as they were a five and a half point favorite. Now just a 3-point favorite. The total still up there, right around 234 and a half. You also will have the Timberwolves and the Utah Jazz in this one. And this is an interesting game because we've seen nothing but Utah money come into the marketplace. And I agree with it. Minnesota coming off of that big win last night. And it looked like Naz Reid was ruled out last minute against the Suns last night in that game. Also, Rob Dillingham was able to go, and they needed all the help that they could get in that game there. And boy, oh boy, they needed it as they ended up coming back and beating Phoenix with Kevin Durant. Good stuff in that game last night, but all the starters on Minnesota had to play lots of minutes there last night. Still no Dante DiVincenzo. Looks like he is still out there. Conley also looks like he is ruled out. Feels like this could be just a tad too many points for Minnesota on a second of a back-to-back. All right, we have we were just taking side bets in the control room here, waiting for our next guest, the one and only Mr. Dave Sharapan. We were trying to figure out exactly what team he'd be repping tonight when he shows up here. I have no idea what the answer is. but I definitely did not have the Seattle Kraken on my bingo card. I would have enjoyed a heads up there, Dave, so we could have cashed a ticket there. But the Kraken, I had Joe Madden on earlier, and she's going sharking, man. She wasn't buying the Kraken tonight. Are you buying the Kraken?
I'm not really completely sold on it, but I don't have any SJ Sharkey stuff. So I have this. We're scrambling over here. We're getting ready for Super Bowl week, and I've been busy and just had a little technical difficulty. So I'm glad that I made it. Thanks for having me, you know, as always on Game Time Decisions. Yeah, I feel like we've gone to the well a few too many times recently with the Sharks. And they don't win on the road. They're on a four-game road losing streak. So tonight on In-Game Live Game Day, I'll be doing it with Dane Martinez. But in honor of Scotty Wetzel and the Black Cloud play of the night, the play that just can't lose, where every single night he comes with something that just, he says, double up, triple up, all this stuff. It's a real whole routine. We got graphics. It's a lot of fun. He would have the Seattle Kraken tonight. That would be probably
absolutely
the Black Cloud play of the night. So if we could put the Black Cloud on it and Kraken stuff, that's what we're doing. But this is not going to be easy. If you take you'll probably be trailing. It might be okay to wait pregame and don't bet it, and let when the Sharks get up 1-0, then come back and maybe do it.
I don't hate that.
A bunch of different ways to attack it. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting game.
What did I'm looking forward to, and the puck drops 9 o'clock, by the way, Detroit and Edmonton. Feels like we might get some goals in that game. That and your Vegas Knights against Columbus are the biggest totals on the board here tonight. And boy, I could see a lot of goals in this game here. Skinner and net, Talbot for Detroit, Dave, but man, are we really laying 250 with Edmonton? Detroit feels like they could make this thing a little bit of fun tonight, no?
Detroit probably will be leading this game at some point. This won't be.
Yes.
This is what I call, I've dubbed this on BVB, Boston vs. the Book with Perrault, an uncomfortable lay. This will be an uncomfortable lay if you do Edmonton. This will not. This will give you that little bit of agitation, that little bit of feeling. They'll probably win. The game will go over. That's a good look by you.
Yes.
And then the Vegas game, the Columbus Blue Jackets have played beyond and above expectations, especially after the tragedy this summer and all this other stuff. They're playing with a purpose. They lead all of hockey in record to the over. So them coming to Vegas, probably – team total over, I think 2.5 is not a bad play. And I think the Knights will score as well. This one probably will be over the total, I say, by midway through the third period. This one has 4-3
I like that.
All over it, if not 5-3, something like that.
I like that. Better.
So that's the final score this
one. Yeah, I'd seen Columbus, some money coming in on Columbus here, interestingly enough. But maybe on the puck line might not be a bad look. Take that 1.5 at even money may not be a bad look there. I understand it's the night of all nights there, Dave, in your backyard. The release of the Superbook props book. The gates will open. The windows will open. People will be running trying to get as much money as they can down while they can on the props tonight. What are you here? What are some of the more popular ones every year? Guys just wait online, and what are they running to bet, man?
It's getting less and less, but I will be down there after the show. I'm going to go down. It's like a little family reunion of, you know, it's like, though, a family reunion, and you know you're getting older. Yep. Like some of the relatives go, you know what? I don't want to travel that far. You know what? I got a bar mitzvah this weekend. I'm not going. Or the props are out. Like in a lot of places, the day after the game was decided, they were out. So this doesn't have the same cachet, but it's nice because everything gets put on paper. There's big packets, and guys fire two dimes a pop. You'll see a lot of individual player props bet then. They'll probably take, there will be a safety. No. A lot of no's, Beth.
Right.
A lot of no's.
A lot of no's. We'll throw a few at Dave, though, when Game Time Decisions continues on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here as we look to wrap up this edition together. Joe Ranieri joined by the man we'll pass the baton off to here coming up for a little in-game live, Dave Sherapin. In the house here. And Dave, we talked a little NHL. We got, of course, a little time to breathe here next week. Radio Row over in New Orleans, all the excitement leading up to the rematch here between Philadelphia and Kansas City. Let me ask you, it feels like the spread, what we see is what we're going to get. I don't know that it's going to move much off of 1.5. But it feels like the pros are waiting for the last second and are going to bulldoze the under here to wait to see the public come in and how high it can get. Because I'm kind of shocked it hasn't moved up up and over 50, 50 and a half at this point. And if it hasn't, it feel we all know the public's betting the over, Dave. So if the pros are coming in on the under, it ain't going to be until the 12th hour here on Sunday.
Crazy. Somebody's going around town here in Vegas and betting the under for $50,000 a pop. A couple places a couple places in town here have taken $50,000 on the under 49.
Wow.
So I don't know if they're trying to get them to move it or just betting it because that's what they really believe. But I mean, you put it out on socials when you see it from the places that have taken it. Like stations and, Chris and Jimmy and Vinny over at South Point took another $50,000 bet under 49. They didn't move the line. They didn't move the line. So I don't know what that move is, what they're doing, but I know I've been told by a couple of my guys in town that they are going around town betting the under 49s, and no one's moving it yet. So I don't know which way it's going to go. I would be surprised if it doesn't go up as we get later into next week, you know. This is what happens. The first week leading up to the Pro Bowl, the pros come and bet a lot of this stuff under. Props under, game under, all this other stuff. And then the second week we get closer to the game, and then all the public money starts really coming in on the overs. So I don't know. My initial send out was pick in 51. I thought it would have been a little bit – I thought 50 at least would have been given out. It's not there yet. I think we'll get there at some point. I don't know what it's going to close. I don't know. I've been looking and trying to find a reason. I still think Philadelphia, this one is number 5 of 6 in the last 6 years the Chiefs have been in the Super Bowl. So we're familiar with making a number, taking a bet, moving and all that other stuff, right? This one is reminding me, and you know Newbie. He's a friend of mine. He's an Eagles guy. Put the thought in my head, and I can't get rid of the thought, that this may end up being more like the Kansas City game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where Mahomes was running for his life, the defensive line was getting through, and Tampa gave it to Kansas City pretty good. That's what I'm thinking right now, Joe. I mean, and again, it's Thursday. You can change your mind between now and then, but I really think that the defense of Philadelphia – is gonna keep this game. It's not gonna be a big shootout. Last time they got together in Arizona was 38-35. I don't think it's going that way.
Yeah, I don't see it. And I think the offenses were much better a couple of years ago than they are. Totally different style offenses too, as well. But the only thing that scares me with that point, Dave, is that Vic Fangio. 8 times his defenses with Denver and Miami have gone up against Pat Mahomes, and he's 0-8 against Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes. So you can have all the defensive players you want. Fangio has not figured out how to beat Pat Mahomes yet. So it'd be a hell of a first time, though, That is for sure. All right, get out of here, Dave. We're going to pass the baton off to you here. We'll see you in just a couple of minutes for In-Game Live. And, of course, we'll be back again tomorrow for another edition of Game Time Decisions, as we'll have plenty to talk about heading into what should be a great weekend, huge weekend in college basketball again, NBA, not to mention the PGA, of course, with Pebble Beach. Will Scottie Scheffler in his first tournament of the year, will he end up winning it as the chalk? We'll have so much more to talk about there. But in the meantime, don't go anywhere. In-Game Live is coming up next. You're not going to want to miss that. Plenty of action here tonight. We will be back for another edition of Game Time Decisions, same time tomorrow. So enjoy the games. Cash a few tickets. We'll see you again tomorrow here on The Grid.